Amen. All right, the verses I want to focus on in Jude are verse 7 and 8. Let's read those together. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignity. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for the scriptures, Lord. And what I'm about to preach about tonight is not exactly my favorite thing to preach about and not my favorite subject, but it is needed, Lord, in this day and age. And Lord, things are just getting worse. And Lord, things sometimes come to light that need to be preached about. And we need to understand, Lord, how much we need to protect our children in this day and age. Lord, all the images that come through video, internet, and television, and Lord, just through our ears with music. And I just pray, Lord, that you just help me to preach this sermon tonight. Lord, help me to be bold, and Lord, help me to be truth, speak truth, and Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen. All right, so Michael Jackson was asked why he did the filthy sexual hand gestures on stage that he did. And he replied, "It's the music that compels me to do it. You don't think about it, it just happens. I'm a slave to the rhythm." And Michael Jackson did do filthy hand gestures when he danced and sang. And he's been dead for almost 10 years now. But the thing is there's some things that have come to light just recently. There was a documentary that was released about him. And many people have always suspected that Michael Jackson was, you know, a pervert and a child molester. And, you know, I think that now more than ever, I'm fully convinced that Michael Jackson is exactly that. I was pretty convinced before. But the title of my sermon tonight is Why Michael Jackson is Roasting in Hell. Amen. Why Michael Jackson's Roasting in Hell. And you might say, you know, well, Pastor Thompson, why are you preaching about this? He's been dead for 10 years. Because people still love his music. Because people still listen to his music. I was literally talking about this with somebody in the church, walked over, got a coffee, and guess what song was playing? Thriller. Okay? And many of you are too young to even know what Michael Jackson was like and what it was like to grow up when he was like the most, you know, influential musician in the world at that time. He was so popular. I mean, it was just an anomaly how popular he really was. And unless you were alive during that time, or less, you know, who actually grew up listening to Michael Jackson? Be honest now. All right, a lot of people, but not too many. Now, some people have just heard it through its constant playing on the radio, his music. And Michael Jackson was considered the king of pop music. A secular music singer worshipped literally as an idol. If you've ever seen any of the pictures of his fans or any of the video clips of his fans, they're screaming and just, like they just can't believe that Michael Jackson is there, right? As he's dangling his child out the window of a four-story building. The guy was a freak show. The guy was a homo. And the guy was a child molester, okay? And he was sick in the brain. He grew up in music. You know, and that's the thing about being mega popular like that. There's always something weird that ends up happening with him. I mean, the guy had to make a grocery store inside Neverland so he could realize what it's like to actually go grocery shopping. That's how he could. I mean, there's no way he could ever go out in public. And, you know, actually the way his face looked by the end of his career, I wouldn't have wanted to see him out in public anyway. He's pretty ghoulish looking. So, you know, and he started out and he was a black man and ended up as a bleached out skeletal figure. I mean, he looked weird. So, and, you know, why am I applying these scriptures in Jude to Michael Jackson? Well, you know, have you ever heard of the show called American Idol? Yeah? American Idol, why do they call it that? Because these people want to become the next idol that people worship in their hearts. See, there's idols that you can make with stone. There's idols you can make with wood. There's idols you can molten. But there's also idols that you can have that are people. People that they actually worship those people. And Michael Jackson was one of those people that people actually worshiped. It was bizarre. But, you know, I actually, at some point in my life, when I was 10 years old, listened to Michael Jackson just like everybody else did. I remember going to Portland, because see, when I grew up, I grew up in the country, right? They didn't even know who Michael Jackson was back there. Now things have changed. You have the internet and everybody's interconnected in a different way. But like, clothing styles didn't hit Hermiston, Oregon until, you know, way later than they would hit here. So when I would move back and forth from here, I looked like a total rube. You know, I was wearing Wranglers and cowboy, you know. Dylan's back there, yeah. But going to middle school in an inner city school, wearing Wranglers, cowboy boots, and, you know, just like a cow, whatever, flannel shirt, you know, it wasn't really exactly making the most popular kid in the school. I'll just say that. So the Bible says, turn to 2 Corinthians 6:14. I'm going to read Leviticus 19:4. It says, "Turn ye not unto idols, nor make to yourselves molten gods. I am the Lord your God." So now there's, like I said, there's literal idols. And there's idols that people make up in their hearts. And basically what Michael Jackson was an idol in people's hearts. You just have no idea. We only had 3 channels back then, right? And he was probably on all of them a lot of times during the day. He like made Pepsi commercials that were super popular. And, you know, Michael Jackson was known for loving children, supposedly. Yeah, he loved them in a weird way. But he, you know, he was so powerful, he was able to manipulate all the people around him and get them to think that he really just loved children. You know, his childhood was robbed from him. That was his, like, that was his MO, that was his modus operandi to actually getting to where he could molest children. Is that he would pretend that he loved children, then he'd always have children around him, walking around with them, holding hands with them. You know, and it got to be the point where he just told the same story over and over again. People just started to accept it. But not everybody, okay? I remember going through the phase of listening to Michael Jackson. I listened to Michael Jackson at night. I had a little tape recorder. You guys know what a tape recorder is? Okay, tape recorder. It was like a little portable one, and I would listen to it as I went to bed at night. And I remember getting that album when I first moved to Portland. My grandma took me straight to Toys R Us and said, "You got to listen to this." I mean, my grandma. Anyway, that's how popular it was. Grandparents listened to it. You could watch the Thriller video and sit down with a whole generation of people, and everybody just loved it, ate it up. So, but I remember my mom. She didn't really like him that much, and she was like, "Get this Daryl Hall and John Oates tape instead." And I'm like, "Okay, whatever, Mom." You know, but that's how popular he was. I mean, when I got to Portland to see my grandma, the first thing she did is took me to go buy that album. So, I mean. So things are different nowadays, and I know that there's a lot of popular musicians and things like that, but nothing compares to how popular he really was. So, and you're in 2 Corinthians 6:14. It says, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? And what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you're the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Now listen to this. This is really important. It says, "Wherefore come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." So let me ask you this. What business do Christians have listening to that garbage? Let's just put Michael Jackson aside for a second. Let's talk about worldly music. Amen. Worldly music is a vexation to the Christian soul. Yes. Look, it's a different spirit. Yep. When we sing, I was thinking about the songs we were singing today. If you tried to play that on a radio station, people would flip out. Yep. If you just like said Z100, you're done. We're putting the hymns on here. People would freak out. Nobody would listen to it. You know why? Because it's spiritual music. See, God's people are supposed to listen to spiritual music, not the music of the world. We're supposed to be separate from that music, and we're bombarded with it every single day that we are alive. You can't walk into a store without hearing it. You can't go to a restaurant without hearing it. We can't literally go anywhere to eat without having that garbage pumped into our brain the whole time. So, why is that? Because the devil wants to get a hold of us any way he can. And music is a big way that he gets us with. That he gets control of what we're, you know, to the point where you're singing it and you don't know why. You're humming it. You don't know why. It's stuck in your brain, but you can't understand why. Where did I hear it? I can't remember where I heard it. Yeah. You heard it somewhere that day. You just don't realize it because it was pumped into your brain subliminally in the store or in the restaurant. Next thing you know, it's in your brain. You can't get it out. That's how powerful music is. It's very powerful. So Michael Jackson in his heyday was like 1984. That was like where he was the most popular, the zenith of his popularity. And then he began to change his appearance through plastic surgery. Now he claims that he only got plastic surgery twice, but I mean, if you look at his face before and then how it ended up, there's no way that was two plastic surgeries. So he also said he had lupus and he had reasons why his skin was that color or whatever. He did it himself, okay? So, you know, and again, he started to hang out with very young boys. There was a show called Webster on television in the 1980s, and it was just a little black kid. And it was like kind of like, you know, Arnold from Different Strokes or whatever. Some people are like lost right now. Don't worry, it's okay. But he would hang out with these little kids and hold their hands and walk around with them and do, you know, and people started to think, well, that's kind of weird, right? He built a ranch called Neverland. It was 2,700 acres. 2,700 acres. And it was like a little place, a little Peter Pan place where, you know, he had like playrooms and he would invite children over and watch movies with them. And then he had secret rooms that he did other things in. I don't want to vex your soul too much with the details that I do know about these guys that have come forward just recently. These guys lied in court and did false depositions to protect him when he was going through his child molestation cases. He actually was accused in 1993 of child molestation by a family friend. And then I think it was 2002, he got accused again. And then that actually went to trial. And then one of the guys that have just come out recently and said that it's been true the whole time, that kid was the main witness for him getting acquitted in 2002 is when he was accused. So, you know, a lot of people are like giving these guys that have just come forward a lot of grief and saying, oh, they just want to do it for the money. Well, I'm sure they do want some money. You know, the guy ruined their childhood. One of the guys' name was, I'll get to that here in just a minute, but some of the people he hung out with, Emmanuel Lewis, that's the guy that played Webster, the kid that played Webster. Macaulay Culkin, if you've ever heard of that guy, he was on a movie called Home Alone, whatever. And then Aaron Carter was also another young kid that he was hanging out with who was popular at that time. And many others. But what he would do is he would groom these kids, he would groom their parents, you know, and that's what master manipulators and predators do in these types of situations. He had power. He had so much power and star power that people couldn't resist him, you know, and he was really good at what he was doing, saying, oh, I just didn't have a childhood, so I like have the mentality of a 9-year-old boy. I mean, would anybody in this room buy that garbage? Hey, I just didn't have a very good childhood. Can your kid come over and spend the night and sleep in my bed tonight? That's what he was literally doing and getting away with for years and years and years. And the parents were just like, well, you know, there's just nothing, you know, I don't really see anything wrong with that. Look, you got to guard your children, people. You got to guard your children. And you can't just trust people with your kids. You can't. Because, you know, Michael Jackson, the most famous pop star, the king of pop, is a child molesting freak. And he's roasting in hell for all eternity. He's been roasting in hell for 10 years almost. And he's going to be roasting in hell for the rest of eternity, for all eternity. You know, we're going to be saved. The people in this room that are saved, we get to live for eternal life. He's going to be eternally dead. And I'm glad, because the things that he did were sick and demented. And obviously, this is not a very good subject to talk about, but it needs to be preached about because we need to understand just how important it is to protect our kids right now. So, two different times he was accused of child molestation. One was settled out of court for millions of dollars. The other case, he was found not guilty. So, there's been no end of public outcry. I'm just going to read this little excerpt I got from the internet. Since HBO's Leaving Neverland premiered at Sundance Film Festival in January, the painful two-part HBO documentary, which details the alleged sexual abuse that two men endured from Jackson, has resulted in a variety of responses. Many have condemned Jackson's actions and taken steps to disassociate with the King of Pop, but still others are choosing not to believe the singer's accusers and denouncing the film. And these are the fanatics. These are the super fans that go and try, like during the trial, they would go and disrupt the media and all, you know, and obviously I don't feel sorry for the media, but they were just, they're so crazy that they just love Michael Jackson so much that they were just trying to do anything to stop him from being convicted. They're a little, like I remember this, when he got found not guilty, there was five counts, and a lady had like a little basket with doves in it. And every count that he was not guilty, she would release another white dove. I mean, that's pretty crazy, right? I mean, anyway, I'll never forget that. And I remember thinking, how did this guy get away with doing this? How did this guy get away with it? Money, power, absolute power. So the details unearthed in Leaving Neverland, that's the title of the new documentary, have resulted in a permanent tainting of the powerful singer's legacy. Radio stations have begun pulling Jackson's music from their sets, and one-time earning power of the Jackson estate is now in question. People are yanking the music from off the radio and everywhere except for in America. You know, I'm sure Tokyo has a lot of people that aren't, you know, he had a really big star power in Japan also. But big surprise, Babylon USA isn't trying to pull his music off the air, are they? You know, I walked next door and they had no clue what I was even talking about. I was trying to tell them while this music is bumping in my brain over there. And they just looked at me like I had three heads. They really did. I was like, it kind of seemed like I was pissing them off a little bit. I was like, this dude's a pedophile, man. Why are you playing his music in here? Anyway, so, but Michael Jackson also, why did we read Jude? Because Michael Jackson also is a former Jehovah's Witness. Did anybody know that? Yeah, so he was part of the Jehovah's Witnesses for a long time. And I remember seeing a clip where he said, where he sent a birthday video to this boy and said, well, you know, I don't celebrate birthdays, but I just wanted to wish you, you know, like a happy day or something weird like that. But right then I realized he's a Jehovah's Witness. When I looked deeper into it, of course, he was a Jehovah's Witness. So was Prince, by the way. So look back at Jude chapter 1. There's only one chapter in it, but let's see here. Let's look at verse 4. It says, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Kind of sounds like a Jehovah's Witness, doesn't it? Right. So Jehovah's Witnesses deny the Lord. They deny the Lord Jesus Christ. They say that Jehovah, you know, they believe in Jehovah, but they deny Christ, who is Jehovah. But anyway, verse 5 says, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to what? Fornication. And going after strange flesh. Now, a synonym for strange would be queer, right? So this is what the people of Sodom and Gomorrah did. They gave themselves over to fornication and went after strange flesh. And they're set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. So when God destroyed them, he destroyed them with hellfire. Okay? But that's a picture of them suffering eternal fire, eternal death in the lake of fire. And so why am I confident to say that Michael Jackson is roasting in hell right now? Because he gave himself over to fornication and went after strange flesh, which is a symptom of being a reprobate. Okay, so a symptom of being a reprobate is being a child molester. It's strange to want to go after the flesh of a child. It's very strange. And, you know, we reject those types of people. We say, get out. They're not welcome here. They're not allowed to come into our church. So Michael Jackson, well, not only was he a pedophile, but he was also a homosexual. So, you know, people get really upset when we start talking about this. Like, I can't believe you say that all homosexuals are pedophiles. Well, what was Michael Jackson? He was a homosexual and he was a pedophile. Case in point right there. So he crossed a line that he was not able to come back from, and people trusted him with their children. Children slept in his bed for days and days at a time, and nobody stopped to think that that might be a little bit strange. Yeah. You know, but he was such a manipulator. He actually, the person that was the star of that documentary, well, not the star, but he was the one of the guys telling the story. His name was Wade. And Wade won a dance competition to be able to have the chance to meet Michael Jackson in Australia. He was from Australia. And so he won the thing. He's 7 years old. And he got to meet Michael Jackson. And the first time he ever took him back to his place, he molested him. Seven-year-old boy. Sick. That's sick. And so his mom was so sucked into everything and so overwhelmed with the star power of Michael Jackson that she literally left her husband and her other two, or one of her other kids, in Australia, and because Michael Jackson said, well, if you ever move to America, look me up. And so do you see what the influence of this kind of music can do to someone? I mean, at the end of the story, that dad, who she left him, left her older son, who was a police officer, moved to the United States. He got molested for 7 years by Michael Jackson, from the age 7 to the age 14. That dad ended up killing himself because of everything that happened, because of that Michael Jackson destroying that family. See, people say, you know, well, it just hurts that one person, or, you know, sin doesn't hurt everybody. Yeah, it does. It hurt that whole family. And that dad ended up killing himself. The other dad from the other kid, he killed himself too. One of the other accusers' dads killed himself when he found out that he, you know, because think about it. If you're a parent and you know that someone got a hold of your child and that you were too stupid to do anything about it, or too stupid to protect your own child, it's going to mess with you, right? To this day, they won't even talk to the mom. After that, after finding out, like, basically their whole family was ruined, and the whole reason why Michael Jackson was so nice to him is because he just wanted to molest their kid. It's pretty sad, pretty sick. So look at verse 8 in Jude chapter 1. It says, likewise, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. The Bible calls that sin filthy, right? Michael Jackson, though, not only was he a Jehovah's Witness, not only was he an idol in people's hearts, but he also talked about God to his victims. So one of the things that he said to his victims was that God wants us to be together. God wants us to be together, and this is how we show God that we love each other. Let that resonate in your brain for a second. Is he not a false prophet? Is he not saying something that, about God, that he basically is telling them something different about God than what's right? Yeah. Filthy, reprobate, right. Sodomite, amen. Pedophile. Amen. And yet people will still defend this guy to the max. So he's a filthy dreamer. The Bible calls them brute beasts, right? Michael Jackson used his fame and fortune to corrupt children, to corrupt families. Two men killed themselves because of the grief that they couldn't bear anymore. The mother still defended him until the very end of that of her son Wade. Until now, and now she realizes how bad it was. You know, but obviously the kid lied. He never told the truth about it. But that's what master manipulators do: corrupted him, manipulated him, worked on him daily to not tell the truth about what was going on, even to the point where he went to court and flat out lied to the court about it, because he was so twisted up, he was so messed up. But look, the kid was 7 years old when he got a hold of him. 7 years old. I mean, think about that for a second. Seven. That's pretty young. So how could this happen? Because power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. That's a true statement. So what's the harm with worldly music? Well, I don't know. The King of Pop seemed to ruin some lives, didn't he?
Yep.
What's the harm with that kind of music? Well, in the beginning, I read that quote, how he said that he did those filthy acts because of the music compelled him to do so. There's a spirit in that kind of music that gets a hold of people. And that kid, Wade, he said the first time he ever heard Michael Jackson's music, that a fire burned up within him. And he couldn't help but want to dance. He couldn't help. And he said he got a tingling sensation from just the music of it, the music that he was listening to. You know why? Because there's another spirit in that kind of music. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. So I don't think it's a stretch to use verses about false prophets, because if he's preaching God, he's preaching a false God to these kids that he's abusing.
That's right.
He's abusing them. 2 Peter 2:1 says, "But there were false prophets also among the people. Even there shall be false teachers among you, who shall privily bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of the truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not." Because verse 4, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked." So here's what it also does to Christians, okay? These filthy dreamers, these false prophets, these wicked sodomites. Lot was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. And I'll tell you what, if you get yourself involved in worldly music, it's going to be the same thing for you. It's going to vex you just like it vexed him. All these films and television programs that have these sodomites on them all the time, I mean, the Hollywood is filled with them. And if you let yourself be vexed by these things, the same thing's going to happen to you. You're going to be vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, the filthy lifestyle. The Bible says that Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. He pitched his tent toward it so that he could see what was going on there. And when Christians pitch their tent towards Sodom, the same thing's going to happen to them. Next thing you know, Lot's actually living in Sodom, and Abraham has to go and save him, right? So it says, "For this righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." And I'll tell you what, there's no mistake that the Bible says right here, Lot was a righteous man. Lot was a saved man.
Amen.
Okay? But if we as Christians, we get involved in the same thing and watching and listening to things that the world has to put out, not only just the things that the world has to put out, but the things of the world that are wicked.
Amen.
It says, "In seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day." Christians, we should not be vexing our souls as much as possible. You know, obviously we live in a world where men have to go out and work, and all this garbage is playing on the radio. And believe me, I have to endure it too. And it's a vexation. It really is. It's a vexation. But if you can have any way to be away from it, be away from it. Don't pitch your tent towards Sodom. Don't pitch your eyes towards the things of this world. You know, look, we're supposed to be separate from what the world is. And so this lady that was in the documentary, the mother of this boy named Wade, she said she prayed to God whether she should allow her son to go and spend time with Michael Jackson. And she was like, "I was just waiting for an answer to that prayer." So that tells me what? That she's probably Christian, so-called, or she might have been saved. Who knows? But when she pitched her eyes towards Sodom, and when she let her son pitch his eyes towards Sodom and started to hear the things that he had to hear from this sodomite, It just makes me sick to my stomach that I actually laid in bed as a 10-year-old kid and listened to this sodomite sing me to sleep. That's like putting Elton John next to your ear as you go to sleep tonight. You want to do that? Listen to the Lion King soundtrack? Or whatever. I don't know. Didn't he sing the Lion song? Yeah, he did. Okay. But look, we shouldn't be like Lot. We should take, you know why this is in the Bible? So we can take it and we can apply it to our lives and say, I don't want to be near Sodom. I don't want to look towards Sodom. I don't want to put Sodom in my eardrums. I don't want to put Sodom in my eye gates. I want to keep away from those queers and keep away from all this worldly music. And look, Michael Jackson was a sodomite. So anybody that listens to him is listening to a sodomite. Get it through your brain. I almost ripped this thing off. Oh.
Amen.
Okay. Right. Got to be careful. I don't want it to flip over. But it vexed his righteous soul from day to day because he was into it. And that's all it takes. You pitch your tent that way. Next thing you know, you're living there. Yeah. Next thing you know, it's all up into your business. You know, you're listening to country music when your husband's at work. Dancing around the kitchen. Don't even do it, ladies. I'm telling you, don't do it. Especially not Michael Jackson, please. But look at verse 9. It says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh and the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not a railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these as natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed speak evil of the things that they understand not and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. See, Michael Jackson was not only was he corrupted, but he was corrupting the youth. He was corrupting other people around him. And all in the guise of, oh, he's just a 9-year-old child at heart. He just likes playing with children and whatever. Look, I can't believe people were fooled by that. There's no way on God's green earth that I'd let my kid spend a night with Michael Jackson, let alone sleep in his bed. Because I'll tell you what, when I was a kid, there was rumors that he was a queer then. And I remember multiple times saying, Michael Jackson's a fag. I remember multiple times other people saying it. Even when I was 10 years old. Look, everybody bought... Anybody know what parachute pants are? Okay. These kids are like, what are you talking about? They called them parachute pants. I don't know if they really were. Were they really parachute pants? But anyway, they had all these zippers on them. And people actually wore the Michael Jackson coats to school. I mean, it's pretty bad. But going back to this lady, okay, she prayed to God that, you know, this would be okay. And you know what Michael Jackson did? He said, I've been praying about that too. And so what did she say? She said, well, I thought, you know, there's two answers to prayer right there. I prayed and so did he. So that's where she allowed her kid to go with him. He used God to get his way into that family. But not the real God. Not the true God.
Right.
His God.
That's right.
Who is his God?
Satan.
That's right.
Yeah.
2 Peter 2:13 says, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime, spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. Michael Jackson was friends with these people's families for years, went over to their houses, but after he got tired of their children, then he would go pick new ones, and then they would still be allowed to hang around somewhat, but not like the new ones that he was grooming, because he groomed children. That's what he did. How the world didn't, I mean, the world picked up on it, but they didn't really do anything about it. You know what I mean? So it's kind of hard to explain unless you were like there during the time, but why is Michael Jackson roasting hell? Because he was an offender of children.
Yeah.
Turn to Matthew chapter 18, verse 6. Matthew 18, verse number 6. Nothing makes me more mad than to see someone hurt a child.
Amen.
Nothing would fill me with violence and rage more than me catching someone doing something to a child.
Amen.
I tell people this all the time. If I caught somebody doing something to a child, I would kill them with my bare hands. Right then and there, on the spot, I'd say, look away.
Amen.
I'm not kidding.
Yep. Amen.
I'd go find a hole to bury him in somewhere. I know that sounds bad, but they're not going to get any justice in this world. I'll tell you that right now. Matthew 18, verse 6 says, but whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. God's pretty serious about it too, isn't he? Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or foot or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It's better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed than having two hands and two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It's better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than to having two eyes and to be cast into hell fire. See, people will say, oh, it's, you know, hell is just a metaphor. Really? Jesus pretty clearly says it right here, that it's hellfire, that it's everlasting fire. And he says, if you offend a child, that's where you deserve to go. Because you've, again, they've crossed the line. Because no normal person is going to do something weird like that to some child. Nobody that's normal. Nobody that's savable. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. That sounds like a threat. That sounds like God is saying, hey, you better be careful not to offend a child. Not one of these little ones. Mark 9:42, turn to Mark 9, verse 42. It's a parallel passage of the same basic thing that Jesus was teaching. Mark 9:42 says, and whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea.
Amen. Amen.
And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched.
Right.
Sounds like hell's real, and it sounds like hell is forever, and it sounds like it's fire that won't be quenched. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. If thy foot offend thee, cut it off, for it's better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. You think Jesus is serious about this?
Amen.
Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched, and if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into the hellfire. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. I'll tell you what Michael Jackson's not doing right now. He's not moonwalking anywhere. He's screaming in everlasting pain. He's screaming. His worm is doing whatever it is that worms do. They usually eat things, right? So I don't know if that's like a slow, eternal eating. I don't know exactly what that worm is like, but it's not something that I would ever want to meet. Because hell is described as a place of darkness. So not only is it dark, but it's also on fire. So I don't know. No, normally fire has some kind of light to it, but this fire apparently doesn't. It's darkness. It's screaming. It's gnashing of teeth. It's extreme pain. When Lazarus was sent to hell, when the rich man was sent to hell, he said, you know, just put a drop of water on my tongue. Just a drop. That's how much pain he's in. He just a drop. But see, once you are in hell, it's too late for you. You're not getting any of the comforts. Like, it's not like you're just tortured for a little while and then, you know, you get a little release. It's forever.
Amen.
And it doesn't stop. It doesn't let up. Who's been in so much pain and you're just like, man, I just wish this would just stop for just a little while? Everybody's been there, right? And I, you know, anybody, any woman that's had a baby was probably feeling the same way. It seems like it hurts. Sounds like it hurts, right? I'll never have to experience that, thank God. But it's supposed to be painful from what I hear. Turn to Genesis chapter 18, verse 20. Genesis 18, verse 20. So here's the thing. Anybody that would hear a kid cry and do these kind of weird things to them, is not normal.
Yeah, that's right.
They're psychopaths.
That's right.
They're reprobates.
Amen.
They've got something very seriously wrong with them. Genesis 18 verse 20 says, "And the Lord said, because of the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me, and if not, I will know." So God, why did he come down to deal with Sodom and Gomorrah? Why did he send those angels in there in the first place? Because there was cries coming to his ears up in heaven. The cries of the children, the cries of the adults, the cries of the people that were being molested, the cries of the people that were being raped, the cries of the people that didn't have anybody to fight for them. God had to come down and send two angels in there to see if it was just as bad as they said it was. Obviously, I believe God knew just how bad it was. He didn't need someone, but that's, he sent them in there just as a double precaution. I mean, I want to make sure that I know, right? So Genesis 19 verse 4 says, turn over to Genesis 19 verse 4. So Abraham tries to get him to not destroy it for the sake of righteous, you know, and he gets down to 10. He said, I won't destroy it for 10, if there's 10 righteous. Did God destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? Yes, he did. So were there 10 people righteous? Nope. I believe there's one. That was Lot. Just one. Genesis 19:4 says, "But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and what? Young." See, when these people, these filthy dreamers, they corrupt children, they corrupt them and turn them into what they are.
Yeah.
And so why is it such a big surprise to people that someone would hide that fact for 20 years and then finally come out and tell the truth? Well, because they've been totally corrupted.
Yeah.
Because they've been just enslaved in their mind to believe the things that he was telling them. You know, and at some point, maybe he changed them into what he is. It's possible. You know, they both ended up getting married and having children and things like that, but it messed with them. It's messed with them for their whole life. They were depressed. They didn't understand why. Because something happened to them that nobody should ever have to endure. And in Sodom, this is the same thing that was happening on a grand scale. So you had young, both old and young, compassed the house from every quarter. So even the young children were there, little sodomites, little reprobates, right? It says, "And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. And Lot went in, Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly." So, look, the homosexual people, they'll say, oh, it's just love. Love wins. You know, love wins. You see it in everybody's yard and those stupid poster things that they have in the yard. I wish I could kick them over. People got too many cameras these days. But anyway, that's not love. That's disgusting. It's wicked. The Bible says it's wicked. The Bible says it's vile and wicked. He said, do not so wickedly. Verse 8, behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye unto them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for they came under the shadow of my roof. That's a really weird thing. I don't want to deal with that right now. But he's basically saying, here, you can have my daughters that are virgins. It's like, that's how vexed Lot was that he became kind of like one of them in many ways. And it says, and they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn. He will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to shut to them and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great. Blinding little kids. Blinding these little sodomite kids. That's how corrupt Sodom and Gomorrah was. Why did God destroy it with fire? Because it needed to be done.
Yeah, amen.
I mean, we haven't seen that kind of depravity yet. But you see it happening now in society where they're dressing kids up in drag and letting them dance before people and all this kind of weird stuff. It's getting bad. It's getting way worse. Look, fags were still in the closet when I was a kid, just so you know. I mean, they had to operate in the shadows like Michael Jackson. So they had to blind these kids small grades so that they wearied themselves to find the door. So even after he blinds them, these reprobates are still trying to find the doorknob to get in.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Michael Jackson was a reprobate according to Romans chapter 1. Look at Romans chapter 1. I'm almost done here. Romans chapter 1, this is the last scriptures I'll have you turn to. Think about this also. Music has been a way to program people for thousands of years.
Right.
When Nebuchadnezzar made the golden statue for them to bow down and worship, what did they have to do? What was their trigger to know when they were supposed to bow down and worship? The music. They heard all kinds of different music.
Right.
Do you think that was Christian music? No. It wasn't Christian music.
Right.
See, the Babylonians, when they captured the children of Israel, they said, sing us the songs of the Lord. And they said, how are we going to sing these songs in a strange land? You know what I mean? And obviously, I didn't quote the verse there, but that's basically what is said in the psalm, that they didn't want to sing those songs in the heathen lands. They didn't want to sing them to the heathen so they could enjoy them. Because they didn't, they're their captors. But Romans 1:26 says, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. So it's a vile affection to want to harm a child. It says, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. You know what? Michael Jackson's life was cut short. He was 50 years old when he died and went to hell. And you know, they tried to blame, they blamed the doctor and said it was a homicide and all this stuff. That's a justifiable homicide,
yeah.
In my mind. That poor guy's in jail, and maybe he is a bad guy. I don't know. He's in jail because people felt sorry for this pervert,
yeah.
And they went on him on a witch hunt. You know, Michael Jackson's probably paying him millions of dollars to get all these drugs that he wanted to get, because Michael Jackson couldn't live with himself because of what a stinking reprobate he was,
yeah.
And had to be numb all the time with wine and all these different types of drugs. So it says that in verse 28 says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Anybody that harms a child in this manner, anybody that does these things listed here that a reprobate does, are, the Bible says, are worthy of death.
Yeah,
we need to quit being, Christians need to quit being so weak,
yeah.
And quit being whiners about this reprobate doctrine. The reprobate doctrine is legit. And when people say that they don't, I don't believe this reprobate doctrine that Steven Anderson made up or whatever. Look, it's in the Bible.
Yeah.
It says that they're given over to a reprobate mind. How is that Steven Anderson's doctrine? Look, if you change the word of God, you're a reprobate. If you take the mark of the beast, you're a reprobate. There's no chance of being saved. Your name is blotted out. You don't have a chance to be saved anymore. It doesn't mean that you lost your salvation. It means you don't have a chance to be saved after that. And so, if you blaspheme the name, if you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, what does the Bible says happen to you? You have no forgiveness in this life or in the life to come. You're done. And so, how is the reprobate doctrine not true? Just those three statements right there show you that once you cross a certain line with God, you're over. It's over. So these little whiny babies that are saying, oh, the reprobate doctrine, shut up. Read your Bible. They never have an answer for those three things either, ever. It's like, well, I just think that, you know, maybe some people... Look, they're either reprobate or they're not.
Yeah.
And the Bible makes it clear that they are when they do those things. And being a child molester and a homosexual are clear symptoms of being that.
Yeah.
Is that not clear? Did it not just say men with men working that which is unseemly? How about men with little boys? working that which is unseemly. It's even worse, in my mind. Anyway, so why is Michael Jackson roasted in hell? Because he's a false prophet, he's a psychopath, he's a sodomite, he's a pedophile, and he's a reprobate.
Amen.
That's all there is to it.
Right.
Why am I preaching this? So you'll remember to watch your children.
Amen.
Why am I preaching this? So you won't subject them to the music of this world.
Yeah, right.
Why am I preaching this? So you'll realize these filthy beasts should be put to death. They shouldn't be walking, they shouldn't be breathing anymore.
Amen.
Why am I preaching this? So that they can't create more freaks just like themselves.
Amen.
Maybe this will reach someone that needs to hear it.
Yeah.
Don't trust your kids with anybody, period.
Amen.
Especially some 34-year-old man for a sleepover.
Right.
What in the world? Parents need to wake up.
Yeah.
This isn't the 1950s. And even the 1950s, I'm sure it happened too. Make no mistake, Michael Jackson was a freak show faggot. Period.
Amen.
He looked like a ghoul at the end of his life.
Yeah.
He was a freak.
Yeah.
And he had an early exit off this planet. You know what? I'm glad he did.
Yeah.
Thank God he can't hurt any more children.
Amen.
You know what? The mom of one of the guys that was molested by Michael Jackson said when she found out he was dead. And she was friends with him for 20 years before this happened. She got up and started dancing on her bed and saying, thank God he can't hurt any more children.
Amen.
Because at that point of her life, she realized how bad she messed up. And she has to live with that for the rest of her life.
Yeah.
It only takes 1 second of leaving your kids out of your sight. Someone could do something weird. So watch your kids, all right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for the Word of God. And it's so clear, Lord. It's so crystal clear, Lord. I pray that Christians would wake up and just get out of this love, love, love stuff all the time. Lord, we need to love people, and we know that. But there's a time also to hate and hate sin and hate people like Michael Jackson. I pray, Lord, that people would just get that out of their playlist. Lord, that this country would shut down that music. And Lord, I pray that you would just help our church to not pitch their tents towards Sodom, not pitch their tents towards the things of this world. Pray that you'd help us to grow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.